Hi, I'm Kathy Forstey, Music Director, KC Cafe Radio. We are very happy to have the wonderful San Francisco Bay Area duo of Chapel and Dave Holt as KC Cafe Radio artists. We recently started playing tracks from their newest CD, Stone and Fire. Chapel and Dave Holt are known as the jazzy side of Americana. The unique combination of jazz, folk, blues, and gospel makes their music something as both familiar and creative. Thanks so much, Dave and Chapel, for taking the time to talk with me here on KC Cafe Radio.
Well, thank you for having us.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
First off, I want to tell everybody where they can find you on the internet. It's at chapelanddaveholt.com, and Chapel is spelled C-H-A-P-P-E-L-L, and Dave Holt, H-O-L-T. So make sure you go to their website and check out their amazing, not only music, but artwork and poetry as well. Tell me a little bit about how the two of you met.
Well, I had just gotten a new hotel gig up in Santa Rosa, and I was working full-time music then. We had enough money, made enough money to do that. And my bass player said, oh, you got to come down and hear this singer at the west of the Laguna in Sebastopol. And so he took me in to hear, I guess it was Chapel's first touch with his band. And she sang a song that we still perform to this day.
We do.
She sang February Rain, which is on our first CD. And I just thought, wow, what a great singer she was. And we were both married at the time, so we started out as friends with accessory husbands and wives.
Yeah, so this was in West Sonoma County in Northern California, and it was a big musicians community, which it still is today. And, So I worked in the local music store, and everybody came through the music store. So he'd come and visit me, and we were pals. And eventually we had a bass, when we were divorced from our first spouses, we had a bass player in common who played Cupid.
Watch out for these bass players.
Yeah, really. The rest is history.
Bass players are trouble.
Yeah, can't live without them.
So how long ago was that? How long have you guys been together then?
We've been married together, what?
Well, last October was our 35th wedding.
Yeah, 35 years.
Oh, wow.
I'm not old enough to have been married that long.
You met as children, right?
Yes, that's right.
We were wee tots.
Childhood sweethearts.
So when you started collaborating, what do you think it was about both your styles that made you want to collaborate with one another?
Our musical interests were the same.
Mm-hmm.
We're both total Joni Mitchell freaks, and I was into Steely Dan. Mm-hmm. Chapel was too.
Steely Dan and Stevie Wonder.
And we also both had come out of the folk scene.
Yeah.
And so we were kind of carrying our folk scene thing into this other stuff we wanted to explore, and we both wanted to do that. So.
Yeah, we had very kind of odd roots in common in that way. We were both really interested in old jazz, and
we both like old gospel music.
Yeah, my father is a minister. I grew up in a singing family. All of my aunts and uncles, everybody were singers. So I grew up singing gospel music. So to find each other with such eclectic interests. And so we kind of took all of these different influences and kind of braided them together and created this music that we didn't know what to call it. You know, people always have asked us, what kind of music do you play? Well,
yeah.
And then we did a gig a couple of, I don't know, 5 years ago or so. And we went to the website to make sure the guy had posted the gig. And he put Chapel and Dave Holt, the jazzy side of Americana.
Yeah, we got that from a club owner.
And we thought it took us 30 years, to finally.
Another brilliant Canadian.
I think that's the perfect way to describe it. I mean, because, you know, it is, you know, it's a jazzy and it's Americana and. I don't know how you can fit blues and jazz into that description, but but yeah, I think that's a really good description of it. You know, Joni Mitchell has a very jazzy side, and she's folky.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah, we share some very interesting roots in common with her. You know, she famously recorded a song called "Twisted," which was written by Annie Ross back in the early 1950s, and of course, everybody assumed that Joni wrote it. And, you know, I spent years, still to this day, you know, trying to educate people that know that was written by Annie Ross of Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross. But she very much was influenced by the writing of John Hendricks and Annie Ross.
And Charlie Mee.
And so were we, and when I found out that we had that in common with her as well, I was sort of astonished. Like, oh, yay.
Yeah. So are you both from the San Francisco Bay Area? Are you?
No.
Oh, no.
Where did you start, and how did you get to San Francisco?
You start, Dave.
Well, I was born in Toronto, and I was raised in that area. I left there when I was in my early 20s. I actually came down to California with a band. We were quite a folky band, actually. We were sort of a Pentangle, Fairport Convention kind of band. And we decided to go to California to play clubs and get discovered and all that stuff.
And it almost happened.
And it almost happened. Well, of course, that's part of everybody's story. You know what? I signed a record contract with Elektra, but we never got to the studio.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's how I ended up down here. I didn't want to go back. A couple of the guys did go back to Canada. Unfortunately, the leader of the band was killed in an accident here, and so that was sort of the end of that. Mm. And I got a gig with Mitch Greenhill and Maine Smith, their band at the time, some stalwart old folkies of the 60s, those two. We put our band together and tried to make it financially and didn't really. So from there, I went out to play.
You did pretty well.
We did well.
You did pretty well.
And then I guess I met Chapel a few years after that band broke up.
Yeah.
And I was playing in the commercial hotel scene, making money that way.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually born in Vinton, Iowa.
Yeah, okay. A Midwestern girl.
My dad was going to seminary. Uh-huh. Duke University, and I'm the youngest of four children, and it happened that my brother is just older than I'm the youngest, my brother is just older than me. The two of us were born in Iowa while my dad was in college, but as soon as he graduated and was ordained, we came back to the West Coast where we're all from. So I was in Iowa for about 5 months. And then he joined the Navy, and we kind of moved up and down the West Coast. And my mother's family is from the state of Washington. And from the time that I have memory, we would drive up the coast, and we would always go through San Francisco. And I can remember literally as a tiny tot, I would think, I'm coming back here. Then I did. So when I graduated from high school, I took off, came up to San Francisco from San Diego, where we were living, and ended up in West Sonoma County. Didn't land in San Francisco at all.
Hmm.
And both of us have been pretty loyal to the Bay Area ever since we landed here.
Yeah.
We've thought about moving other places, but it just never seems to be strong enough drawing power to get us out of here. So
I moved up here. The music scene had kind of shifted up to Sonoma County. It was, and the scene in the city was not quite so healthy. So, and we just fell in love with the country. Have you ever seen it, Kathy?
Yeah, one of my good friends, she loves that area, and she goes out there every year, and she tells me about everything. So, yeah, I've seen pictures.
It's heaven on earth. It really is beautiful. So it was kind of an easy land there, and so and that was, of course, where Dave and I met, and eventually started our collaboration.
So you coming from a religious or a religious family, I guess. What point did music?
Yeah, my family is what I would call them, you know, Christian fundamentalists.
Uh huh. So is your father a Baptist preacher, or what? What is he, Methodist or?
No, my dad is a Presbyterian.
Presbyterian, okay.
Yeah.
And mom was kind of not a Baptist, but...
My mom came from a
Free Methodist.
They're called Free Methodists. They're
it's pretty evangelical.
It's very evangelical. But the one thing that's good about the Free Methodists is they had good music. And so that was where the country, the influence for me was the country gospel.
Chuck Chapel knows all those funny old Southern Baptists. You know all of those.
I know. I know more than I even know.
Up in the frozen north, we didn't learn any of that stuff.
Yeah, I can hear somebody
I had to learn from folk records.
Yeah. I can hear somebody start to sing one of those old songs that I haven't heard since I was a kid, and all of a sudden I can sing the whole thing.
It's pretty funny.
So is that where you started playing piano, was in the church then?
I was a conservatory kid, meaning in Canada we have what's called the Royal Conservatoire, eh? And I was a student there from like 5 years old to 21, and I was sort of trying to be a concert performer, but the competition was enormous, so decided I was better off being a composer.
And we're glad he did.
Yeah. We're all better for it.
Yeah, I love Dave's songwriting.
I left the conservatory when I was 21, I guess. Didn't really go back.
So you didn't graduate from there, or?
I graduated at a level where I can teach. I did not get my BA. I actually still teach classical today.
Well, you did get your BA, but not in music.
Yeah, I got my BA later, not in music.
Yeah.
So tell everybody what your instrumentation is. Who plays what instrument in the band?
Well, I play guitar, kind of a rhythmic jazz-style guitar with the occasional finger-picking. And when we do old-timey, I play auto harp a lot, which is just really a load of fun. Mm-hmm. I also play dulcimer, but we don't take it out with us really on the road. It's just too much. Mm-hmm. And then I sing and write songs. I think that's what I do.
You want an instrumentation?
Yeah.
Well, so I pretty much stick with piano and keyboards now. I do play bass, but when we did bass on the first CD, I actually used the synthesizer to do the bass parts.
When he's in practice, he's a really good guitar player.
Yeah.
He's written some rags that are just fabulous, but he never practices, so, you know.
I haven't had time since I became a poet.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of leads me to my next question. You both are amazing artists outside of just music. Chapel, you do some wonderful, wonderful paintings, and you did You did the cover of your new CD as well. Can you tell me about the cover of the CD? Kind of explain it to people, because it's full of. It looks like it's full of symbolism to me. You have like this beautiful horse on there, and a woman, and it looks like some moons or something. What is all the symbolism there on there?
Topic.
This is deep, and it's an interesting question because it goes back. Dave was working on a poetry book, and he asked me to do a painting for the cover. And Dave is part Ojibwe Indian, and
it's a Canadian Indian.
Yeah, and he wanted a medicine wheel. Now I'm you know a white girl through and through. I'm Dutch and English, and I was feeling really uncomfortable about. You know, doing a medicine wheel that's a Native American thing. And so it took quite a while for me to find my way into it, but Dave finally kind of helped me with research on other medicine wheels. And so all that aside, so it's a very personal statement. The medicine wheel reflects you and what your life is and like that.
Living in balance. Basically.
Yeah, so if you're looking at the artwork, we tilted the wheel, and oftentimes the wheel is done as a cross.
Yeah.
But my concept didn't fit that.
And the tilt is fine.
Yeah, so Dave said, well, you can tilt it. As soon as we tilted it, then I was able to fit the woman in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's northeast, southwest. If you look...
Four directions.
In the four directions. If you look on the east side, there's a mountain, and that's Mount Diablo, which is right here in the Bay Area. In fact, we practically live at the foot of it.
Mm.
So there's that. On the west side, of course, is the Golden Gate Bridge. And, of course, we are one of the great wine regions of the world. So I have the grapes. In the southern section, The dress, the images on the dress are from the painting, the wall paintings of Lascaux in southern France. they're some of the most beautiful so-called primitive paintings in the world. And I'm a horse lover, so I took those images. Those are actual images from the wall. And then I just got this crazy idea to morph that beautiful Appaloosa leaping out of her dress.
Yeah.
I can't explain it. That's my mind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the road, that road is from a photograph that I took when we were in New Mexico a couple of years ago, and that goes out to Chaco Canyon.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about the woman because Chapel doesn't realize what happened there exactly.
Okay, yeah, and then you can also talk about the hawk because the hawk comes from your song.
So the woman, Chapel has done a whole series of paintings of these women with skies in their bodies. But the interesting coincidence is that there's a creation story in the Ojibwe lore of Sky Woman. So when I sat with Severin Brown one night, he was asking me about the images on the cover, and I said, well, that's Sky Woman. She's the creator of the second world, known in the Ojibwe as Gizigakwe. And so he sat there trying to pronounce Gizigakwe. I said, Severin, it's okay. Just call her Sky Woman. So, and the hawk, one of the songs talks about the hawk, what the hawk symbolizes. The messenger of the gods, basically, is what the hawk symbol is in Native American lore. So there's one section of one of our songs where I just talk about the hawk bringing a message of peace and love.
Mm-hmm.
And then I photoshopped the artwork onto an actual photograph of the wall in Lascaux.
Mm.
And I just love those hands, you know. They're more than 10,000 years, or 10,000 years?
20,
I forget.
20 to 30.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes my spine tingle, you know, that these incredible artists left their handprints.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. It's amazing. Dave, Voyages to Ancestral Islands, is that a Native American poetry?
My family was one of those where the Indian part of the family and the white part of the family never spoke to each other.
Mm.
And my mom's father had sort of made it that way. The kids all got together and decided that wasn't right. And we took mom to the reserve where the Indian part of the family lives and kind of introduced her to people there and stuff like that. So some of the book is about that journey, helping mom connect with her past, her relatives, her heritage.
And where can our listeners find your book and also your paintings, Chapel?
Paintings, you can find them on the website, the Chapel and Dave Holt website. I also have a Facebook page for anybody who's on Facebook, and that's called Chapel Rose Holt. And you can get to those easily by going to Chapel Holt or Chapel and Dave Holt on Facebook. It's all pretty easy to find. Or on the website, there's a connection to Facebook there.
And the book, where can people maybe purchase that?
Well, it's available on Amazon also as a Kindle, and it's also available through the Barnes & Noble website and the Powell's bookstore website. Powell's is the big bookstore up in Portland. I like it when people buy from Powell's instead of Amazon, but I know it's much easier to find it on Amazon.
Yeah, well, support your local bookseller whenever you can.
But yeah, right. But if you just put in Dave Holt and the title of the book, Google will bring it right up.
Okay.
It'll bring up all the sites.
Well, won't it if you just put Dave Holt poet? Doesn't that?
I think that works too, actually.
I think that works.
Yeah, apparently I'm the only poet named Dave Holt.
Well, that's good.
There's another musician named David Holt.
Yeah.
You probably know who he is.
Well, lucky for you, he doesn't also write poetry, so.
Right, right. But David Holt is really close friends with our friend Mitch Greenfield,
yeah.
So.
The one I call Mitch is the officer in his office.
Yeah.
I have to say which David Holt is.
Yeah, right.
Chapel, you did some really nice paintings of Billie Holiday as well, and you have a great song about the Bad Girl Blues. That song,
oh, yeah.
That kind of has Billie Holiday in there. Talk about that song and the other people you mentioned in that song, and why did you write that song?
Oh yeah, that song was really fun.
Why did you write that?
Why did
I've wondered that too.
Well, in jazz, particularly in jazz, I think it comes up in blues too, there's kind of this tradition of writing songs that are tributes to the people who have gone before. And there's a few jazz tunes that we do like that, and we've both written some. And that one, to tell you the truth, I can't even remember how it got started, but once it got started, it was so much fun to write.
She couldn't stop.
I couldn't stop. So it starts off, Peggy told us all about the fever, and, of course, Peggy Lee. And I mentioned Ella and... it just kind of grew. Stiffy Wallace, Bonnie Raitt, Katie Lang, Loretta Lynn.
Tammy, why not?
Julie London. So the last verse is Julie taught us how to cry a river.
Mm-hmm.
So when it gets to the end of that that last verse, I incorporated a little reference to fever, since that's how the song starts. Peggy taught us all about the fever. Mm-hmm. So at the very end, as a little tribute to Peggy, we end it with one of the phrases from that song. And, it was just really fun to write, and it's really fun to sing. And oftentimes when we do it, I'll say to the audience, now there's going to be a little quiz at the end of this, you know, take notes while and then I'll say at the end of the song, well, did anybody hear anybody?
Yeah.
And then someone will go, oh, I heard Tammy Wynette, right? So it's just kind of fun. But thank you for mentioning that song. It's a favorite.
Yeah, I love that song. My son, I don't know if you remember the show Emergency from the 1970s. Julie London was in that show, and my son loves that show.
Oh, yes, right.
So we watch that on Netflix almost every night. And every time I see Julie London, I think of, you know, her song, oh, Cry Me a River, and it, I don't know, it's just cool.
Yeah. Well, we did it. We were down in L.A. last month, and actually saw a whole lot of our Far West buddies. And one of them, he will remain nameless, so he won't be embarrassed, said he didn't know who Julie London was.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were utterly astonished. He kind of comes from he doesn't come from a jazz background, but it seems like everybody in the world would know who that was. And so I said, well, surely you've heard of Cry Me a River. And he went, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Julie London.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much defined that song.
Yeah. She had a great voice.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to ask about Toronto Tonto and his cowboy guitar. I'm guessing that Dave wrote that one. Is
yeah.
That...
Yeah.
What was the inspiration for that one?
Well, it's funny. It's mostly a wordplay song, although I do throw some messages in there. But when I was living in Toronto, I had really long black hair at the time. I've kind of lost that feature.
It's still long, salted pepper.
Yeah. But anyway...
at least you still have hair.
Yeah, I still have hair. That's the good thing. I got nicknamed Toronto Tonto when I was there. This would be like the late 60s, early 70s, when we were hippies in a commune kind of times. And I just remember saying to Mike, the drummer, who happened to be the one who nicknamed me that, I said, I'm going to write that song someday, Mike. And it only took about 3 decades. So anyway, Mike is still around. I hope he gets to hear Toronto Tonto, actually. So actually, it started out from that, just a silly nickname I got when I was a young guy. And so I kind of, it's a wordplay song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not intended to be too serious, although there are some serious lines.
I'm not sure which ones those are. It's such, but I would like to insert here a little plug for the dobro player on that track.
Oh, yeah.
Maine Smith. He also played pedal steel on Indian Maiden.
Right.
Fabulous musician, and we owe him such a debt of gratitude, you know, that he worked really hard. That song is deceptive. It's quite difficult to play, and it has a lot of chord changes that are unexpected.
Nobody in the studio was able to play the bridge, but...
Right. Anyway, a shout-out to the fabulous Maine Smith.
Yeah, he did a great job on her album.
That's great. Well, that's what jazz is all about, is throwing in those unexpected chords, so.
Yeah, Yeah. I think of that as inspired by Dan Hicks, and Chapel picked up on that and did the Liquette's vocal background.
Well, I call the backup instead by the Chapel Bells, but...
Yeah, the Chapel Bells, yeah. But it's inspired by the Dan Hicks's girls.
So do you guys write together?
Sometimes.
Which songs on the CD were ones you wrote together?
Cats Are Out is the one collaboration on there. It's mostly Chapel's. I did the musical setting for it. I didn't do any of the lyrics on that one.
I think on this album, that's
the only one.
The Cats Are Out is the real collaboration.
We have a couple of collaborations on the first CD.
Often our collaborations are more like one of us has maybe 90% of a song written, or you've got the song all written, but the arrangement is still up in the air. And then we get together and start going, well, what do we want to do with this? And Dave's education, this is where his education really benefits us hugely, is that his classical background and training allows him to really delve into the harmonics, all of the stuff that, for me, it's instinctive. For him, it's both instinct and education.
Yeah, so Cats Are Out, funny, we have a picture of us standing up and rapping it. It was one of the first audiences we did, so we didn't even have music for it. It's the first time we performed it.
That's a fun song. I really like that.
That's a big crowd pleaser. When we do that, we get downright silly, with all the cat scanning and hissing and stuff.
Yeah. That's very cool.
We don't mind making fools of ourselves.
Well, if you're an artist, you can't be afraid of making a fool of yourself. So, where do the ideas for these songs come from?
Well, I'll start with one. I'll talk about Bohemian Moon, which is... when we had our 32nd wedding anniversary, I just couldn't believe it. I was just astonished. And I wanted to write something to kind of celebrate that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to write it in a 1930s old jazz style. So I thought a lot about this Louis Armstrong a song called... When It's Sleepy Time Down South.
Mm.
It was a song he did a lot. And I thought I'd like it to be kind of have that feel. So I actually started from that point of view. Old jazz, 1930s, in that song style. And it's essentially the story of our first date. Out in West Sonoma County, and a hike up in the hills, and the full moon rising, and falling in love. And here we are, all these years later.
Yuba River song. We went on a retreat in Ananda Retreat Center, which is in the foothills, not far from us.
So in the Sierra.
Nevada City. Yeah. No, that's not in the Sierra. It's in the foothills of Sierra.
Yes.
But it's in Nevada City. It was the retreat center, and that lyric came out of us being on a 4-day retreat, writing in our journals and stuff like that.
Yeah, once again, out in nature.
Yeah, and Stone of Fire is a middle-aged pain song, I guess.
Well, Kathy, you interviewed John Roisette, didn't you?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, well, John plays the Raging Cajun fiddle on Stone and Fire.
Yeah,
he's a great fiddle player and a great songwriter, too.
And you know what? He's a great friend. We're so lucky to have him in our lives.
Yeah,
he seems like a really nice guy. So why did you choose Stone and Fire as the title track?
Sounded good.
It just,
and I think, I'm not sure it led to the cover.
Well,
the title come from the poetry book.
Yeah, the title of the artwork is the Stone and Fire Medicine Wheel. It just seemed to be such a piece.
I think I sometimes think of it as a reference to being persecuted but being true to your art.
Mm-hmm.
The stone is sort of a symbol of persecution, and the fire is the symbol of the artistic impulse.
Now, that's really funny, because I think of the stone as the stalwart.
Oh, okay.
The rock But that's probably because of my upbringing, you know.
Maybe. See, I say we suffered stone.
Yeah.
We praised the fire. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes when we're a little in our cups, we refer to it as stoned and fired.
But it was just the catchiest title, I think. Yeah. It's another reason we selected it.
Yeah.
It has sort of a mythic weight to it.
Yeah.
And the cover does too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the painting is almost like fire coming out of the stone.
Yeah. It has stone and fire in it, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a happy coincidence of things, I guess. It wasn't as well thought out as it seems.
So you guys have really terrific live shows. I know you have a really exciting tour coming up. Can you tell everybody about that?
Well, we're heading up to Washington. We'll be stopping in Corvallis and doing a show with
Oregon.
Yeah, that's Oregon, doing a show with our pal Carl Smiley.
That's at Imagine Coffee House, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we're going all the way up to Bellingham, which is, you know, almost to the Canadian border. And we have shows there. We have shows in Seattle and Redmond. And
the Seattle shows at Egan's Jam House? What's that
I think it's actually called Ballard Jam
House. Oh, Ballard Jam
House. Yeah. And those Northwest tours are fun because, you know, the landscape is so pretty and it's a beautiful drive. And so we just hope it doesn't snow when we go over Mount Shasta.
Let's hope it does snow and we need some water.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, the Northwest, we like playing up there too because people seem to be quite open to music. At least they're more open to our music than other areas we play in. We always connect with the crowds really well up there.
Do you do like a mixture of your own stuff and covers, or what is a typical show?
Well, when we're on tour, we tend to do mostly originals because, of course, we're promoting our, you know, our merchandise. But we do, you know, you'll notice that we have A Satisfied Mind on this new album. And we've been doing that song for years and years. It's just so beautiful. And so we do that. We will throw in other things. You know, sometimes we'll do a jazz standard, of course, our own way. Or, you know, we'll throw in the odd song here and there. Right now, we're doing a show this weekend with a fabulous musician, Carlos Reyes. He's from Paraguay, and he plays Paraguayan harp and crazy, crazy violin. And we're actually putting together a Stevie Wonder song to do with him.
Carlos loves Stevie Wonder. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're doing Sir Duke.
We're doing Sir Duke, but it's kind of the jazzy side of it, you know?
Tribute.
Yeah. That's a song about a jazz legend. So.
Yeah, we're learning all those fancy licks to sing. We're scanning all those.
Might be
fancy
one of the hardest songs we've ever tried to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually.
So, yeah, to answer your question, yeah, we do throw in some other things, but I would say on tour, 90% original. There's also the problem with licensing. We are licensed to do A Satisfied Mind, mm-hmm. but some clubs, if they have not paid the fees, you cannot do anything that's an ASCAP or a BMI-owned tune.
Right, yeah, that's a problem that a lot of people run up against nowadays.
Yeah. So fortunately, we write a lot.
Yeah.
That's good. So how much do you write? Do you write every day? I imagine you're working on artwork and writing and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jekyll's had trouble finding time to write lately.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy time right now. Dave's been able to pop out a couple of new songs that are really nice.
Yeah.
I've only got, I think, one and a half new ones.
We do one of the new songs in our show.
Yeah. But, we're like octopi, you know. We've got our little tentacles going out. I'm an artist, and I also do vintage clothing restoration, so I'm kind of in demand for this very specialized skill in sewing. And then Dave, of course, is a poet, and he's a tutor, so we've got a lot of stuff going on. In this.
A lot of my income right now is tutoring.
What kind of tutoring do you do?
Well, I do some piano, I teach some piano lessons, but most
and
of my
guitar.
No, he stopped playing guitar. But anyway, more than piano students, I have English as a second language, and also study skills for kids.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's great you give back like that. That's wonderful.
Oh, and I won a poetry prize last weekend.
Oh, that makes him a professional.
It was cash money prize. Yeah,
he's a professional poet.
Not a big cash money. No thousand, no four-figure poetry prize.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, you know, we're fortunate that all of the things that we do, we're both independent contractors, so when we go on the road, all we have to do is just suspend, tell our clients, we're going to be gone for a couple of weeks, and, see you when we get back, so.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what are you guys working on right now, other than your artwork? Are you working on any new music? I know you mentioned you're writing some, but any chance of any of that making a CD anytime soon?
I don't think it's going to be. It won't be as soon as we'd like. But yeah, we've got one that we're just itching to do, and so
we're gonna pull all the stops out on the jazz on the next one.
Yeah, next time we're gonna scare everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. It's definitely going to be the jazzy side of America.
The jazzy side of jazz. Yeah. But we have a bunch of jazz tunes we don't do anymore, but they should be heard, so we're going to do those.
Yeah.
So do you have like a box full of songs that you haven't brought out?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe three or four.
It's these days everybody's independent, and it's cost money to do it.
Well, we took a long time with this one. We took a year and a half to make this CD, so that made it more expensive.
Yeah.
If we could whip it out quickly, how do you do that? We did our first CD in, 4 days?
Something like that, yeah.
And then it took a week to mix or something.
Yeah.
So we did do the first one quickly, but you can kind of tell if you put your musician's ear to it.
One of the things, that when you get in the studio, it's like a whole other medium, you know?
Right.
It's like painting. And you get in there and you start going, let's add this and let's add that. And so it turns into a whole other thing. And for us, we just can't resist it. We were going to make this album really simple, the Stone and Fire.
Yeah, we were.
We were going to go in there and do it really simple.
That's
and,
really
you know,
funny.
A year and a half later.
Yeah.
But, you get in there and you just think this
it takes
is
on a life of its own. Some of the songs we went in to do, we discarded because they didn't fit the overall theme and concept, and that happened gradually along the way. So.
I think it's pretty typical. You go in with 13 or 14 songs knowing that they're going to get culled.
Mm. Yeah. When we stopped at 11, it felt just right to me.
Yeah.
And 11's a good lucky number, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how long did it take you to record it?
About a year and a half.
About a year and a half.
Yeah.
We were
only able to work one day a week on it, though.
Yeah, so oftentimes it would just be one day a week, and then, except for during the Far West. we were off for a couple of weeks during Far West when it was in L.A., but...
Mm-hmm. Oh, we weren't even doing it, yeah.
Yeah, we would do like a song a week, and we could pay as we went.
Mm-hmm.
So... We weren't, ratcheting up big debts like that. And then we just started hitting up all of our friends saying,
come play our album.
Here's a golden opportunity for you to come play on the CD.
You'll get a T-shirt.
Yeah. With the Stone and Fire artwork on.
With the benefit of all the friends.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time to talk with me today. We're so happy to have your music playing on Casey Cafe Radio.
Oh, thank you. Pleasure.
I'm really looking forward to meeting you guys at Far West this coming fall. And
good, yeah.
It'll be good to hear you live there, so.
Yeah.
It's a real different experience.
Yeah.
Steve Uhlberg thought we were you totally had to hear us live, he thought.
I know you guys do a fun show, so I'm looking forward to it. Okay. So people can find you at your CD at CD Baby, and they can also go to your website for the artwork and the poetry. Any place else that they can find the CD?
If you go to our Facebook, it'll take you right. I mean, CD Baby is really probably the best place to do it, but yeah. You can get to CD Baby from our website, from Facebook. You know, we're easy to find.
Okay. So that website is chappellanddaveholt.com. It's C-H-A-P-P-E-L-L and Dave Holt, H-O-L-T.com. So make sure you go to that website and check out all the great things that they're doing. You'll see Chappell's beautiful paintings on there. I was like just looking over those for like 30 minutes last night, just looking at all of them. So they're just beautiful, especially the ones with Billie Holiday. I really loved.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'll email one to you.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Before we hang up, I'd just like to do a little plug here. We're going to be in L.A. It's actually in Pasadena at the Coffee Gallery backstage on July. Oh, I better check the date really quick. On Thursday, July 16th, and we are going to be double billing with the fabulous Severin Brown.
Awesome.
All right. All of our L.A. friends and fans, come on over. It's going to be a really fun show.
Yeah, and a great show, yeah. Make sure if you're out in the L.A. area in July to go check that out. Is that a big venue?
No, it's not big. It only seats about 55 people, I think.
And everybody wants to play there.
It is one of the places for singer-songwriters.
Yeah.
So if you go to their website, you'll see everybody's play there.
It's Bob Steen's club, and Bob has been in the business since the 60s. He ran the Ice House in Pasadena, which was big for...
I've been reading about the Ice House recently.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same guy.
It's the same guy.
Yeah.
Oh, so, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, get your tickets now, because there's not many seats there, so...
No, not...
and you can buy advanced tickets from their website, Coffee Gallery Backstage.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, great. Well, everybody go check out Stone and Fire, and you can purchase it on CD Baby. Go to the website, and you'll hear more of Dave Holt and Chappell there. Thanks again for chatting with me.
Thank you so much.
By the way, thanks for that great ad you guys made.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful. Mm. We keep it at the number one spot on our Reverb Nation. So if you go to our Reverb Nation site, you can hear that.
Well, cool.
It's pretty fun.
Well, I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
Thanks again, you guys, and we'll be talking to you soon.
All right. Okay, keep your eyes.